Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is an actual person. It's Greg Karam. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm happy to be here.
You had the worst excuse of anyone last week because you were off in Italy. So to make amends, did you see any Serie A soccer to report back on?
No, they were on international break, so I.
Oh, that's right. They were. I should know that because I was doing nothing last weekend except cleaning my apartment.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of I forget who Italy was playing, but I caught a little bit of that game. So that's about it. But I did talk to a very nice cab driver who was a big fan of Napoli and Maradona, apparently, because apparently he's a god down there.
Mm. Yes. And in all other soccer news, my Sheffield Wednesday home shirt for this year arrived, finally. I'm very excited about that. I posted pictures of it on Twitter, and I will wear it to their clash with Man City in a couple weeks. Or next week. Two weeks from Wednesday. I can do math. Whatever September 24th is.
Against Man City?
Yes, in the League Cup.
Oh, okay.
At the Etihad. Very exciting.
That should go well.
Well, it's right in between. It's right after. They have a Sunday night or Sunday morning, afternoon over there. Game with Chelsea. That's going to be big. And they're in the midst of Champions League qualifying. So I don't think they're going to put out, you know, the A team.
Right.
But the B team for Manchester City is also fairly good. Yeah. But strange things can happen. They held them close. Last time they were, I think it was 7 years ago. Lost 2-1. So you never know.
True.
Actually, the player that scored the goal for Wednesday is now one of their assistant coaches and the coach of their youth team. So he will be there and try to conjure up some magic. They only gave 5,400 tickets, which I think Wednesday is going to sell out very quickly. And they're going to have to add more. They could easily get, I think, 10,000 Wednesdayites down to Manchester. It's not a terribly long drive. And the Wednesday night part of it is tough, but, you know. How often do you get the Etihad if you're a Sheffield Wednesday fan at this point?
Apparently once every 7 years.
Yeah. I will be at Football Factory, hopefully, because I will find some manner of watching it since Sky didn't pick it up. But it's Manchester City, so somebody probably will somewhere.
True.
And I will be there. It'll be an excuse to wear my new Hue shirt. Actually, I'm not big on names and numbers on the back of my soccer shirts, but this year I did go for the... also, it's really expensive to add those. They have to use, like, the official league numbers and stuff. And the official, like, league font.
I'm actually excited to hear you pronounce his last name because I had no idea how to say that.
It's Nuhu.
Yeah.
No, the British announcers can't either. Nuhui was very popular for a while. Nahoyu was the very excited announcer during the Blackburn game last year. But it is. It's Adi Nuhu. Or okay. Nuhu, if you want to do it in, like, the proper Yorkshire accent, I think.
All right. Good to know.
This is not a Sheffield Wednesday podcast. Do not adjust your dial. This is Amazing Avenue Audio, a New York Mets podcast. We will talk about the Mets. We have a lot of news to talk about because we didn't really talk about the news last week. I just answered your emails with a very dry, scratchy throat because I did not break for sips of beer often enough. Now I know why Mike Francesa is drinking Diet Coke throughout his entire broadcast. Tonight I'm drinking iced coffee. I have to go pick up my wife at the train station, so I'm being good. And it's actually the coffee I got in Savannah. I got a tip on the place to go from Toby Hyde for good coffee, so I brought back some of their beans and made iced coffee with it.
That's a good move by you.
It is. It's good coffee. And it's better. I do like the, I guess it's the Japanese method, because cold brew, for whatever reason, really upsets my stomach, and it's a pain in the ass to make. So I do the Japanese method, which I guess, according to the I read a New York Times article on it, in case you weren't wondering. Iced coffee is a thing, and the Times is on it. As the Times is on it, Twitter account would tell you. So you'd use, like, half ice and half water. And use, like, a pour-over thing, which I have. You put the ice at the bottom and pour the water over, so it's, like, double strong when it goes down, and then it melts with the ice, and it's the right amount of strongness.
This is... good to know stuff.
It's like science. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like most things involving me and science. And anything that requires precise measurements. We have a lot to cover and not a lot of time, so we should title the episode, I guess, to start. This is the proper episode 84. And as Greg mentioned me off air before we started, he always thinks of 84 as the Dwight Gooden year. Dwight Gooden were Rookie of the Year that year. And by some measures, the 84 season, at least on a per-inning basis, was better than the 85 season. Which, of course, is, you know, probably the best pitching season in Mets history. And one of the best in, probably one of the five or six, I guess, in the modern era. You know, you throw out old Hoss Radburn and stuff like that. It's in the modern era, the live ball era, probably one of the five or six best single season pitching seasons, I think.
Absolutely. It might even be higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that's, I think, probably clearly, the only ones I think are probably clearly better than it are Pedro's, 99 and 2000.
Yep.
Maybe Gibson's 68. And then, like, I think it was Gaylord Perry had some, like, random insane season in the 70s.
Yeah.
But you can rank those as you see fit. What we will not be doing is ranking those seasons on the podcast or name the episode after Dwight Gooden. We'll have other opportunities, maybe as soon as next week, to name an episode after Dwight Gooden. This week, in honor of the Mets only being six out of the wild card as we start play on Tuesday night when we record this podcast, this will be the meaningful-ish games in September edition. Because we're playing meaningful... They're not meaningless games, but they're not meaningful games. They're meaningful-ish games in September. Maybe. It's also an item on the agenda. We'll talk about, are the Mets in a playoff race? Spoiler alert, the Mets are not in a playoff race. That's later in the show, because that's new news. We have old news to cover. I'll talk about Dilson Herrera's call-up, which was fun while it lasted. Daniel Murphy is off the DL and in the lineup tonight. Talk a little bit about the non-trades at the waiver trade deadline 10 days ago. Also talk about the other 40-man call-ups not named Dilson Herrera and the minor league playoffs, which are mostly over. The B-Mets kick off the Eastern League Championship Series in Richmond tonight. They're up 1-0 as of podcast time. And apparently they are officially playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It took forever to actually figure out what the schedule for this goddamn playoff series was. But long story short, I will not be seeing Gabriel Yanoa in a potential game 5 now, which makes me sad.
It's your boy.
Yes, and after all that, we'll answer your emails. There may be some other stuff in there too. I am in the annals of me being woefully unprepared to do this podcast. This might be the most woefully unprepared I've been ever. So we'll see how it goes. We will start this week on somewhere in there. We'll answer your emails too. We got a few of those. That's what we do. We'll start this week with Dilson Herrera. So in the interest of streamlining the conversation, we have a lot to cover, and minimizing our audience's awareness of how unprepared I am, Greg, I'm going to ask you a series of questions about the Dilson Herrera call-up, and you can answer them as you see fit.
Oh, great.
Because you can't possibly be less prepared than I am.
That might not be true.
So the first question is, how hard should the Mets try to get, with Murphy back off the DL and starting at second base tonight, how hard should the Mets try to get Dilson Herrera in the lineup over these last 3 weeks or so of the season?
Not very hard at all. Maybe a little bit. I mean, you can't displace a guy like Murph just for, you know, a guy, you know, your prospect who's might or might not be on the major league team next year. And then on top of that, they're six games out, so